Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Word of God, His promises, and even His commands. The Word of God is the thing that gets us through the wilderness of this world. You, of course, recall how our Lord created everything, that He called it out of existence, from nothing, by His word. Let there be, and it was. He commanded the newly formed Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth, to have dominion over it. He put Adam in the garden and gave him another command. You can eat of every tree in the garden, but the one that is in the middle of the garden, you shall not eat of it, because in the day that you do eat of it, you will surely die. Every time they passed by that tree, they remembered God's provision, God's word. It was their, so to speak, church. It was where they remembered His command and how God had given them every tree in the garden for food, except for this one. Another word comes into the garden, doesn't it? A word that says, did God really say? He is the most crafty of all creatures because He recognized that Eve was not there for that particular command. She was dependent upon her husband to teach her the word of God as they passed by that tree. Did God really say, you cannot eat of any tree in the garden? And of course, that is a lie. They could eat of all of them but this. Satan holds out other lies. He makes it seem as though God is holding out on Adam and Eve. He doesn't want you to be like Him. That's why He's keeping this from you. He wants to keep His thumb over you. He wants to keep you and hold you down. Eat. It'll make you wise and it'll make you like God. And seeing that it was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and it would make them wise and like unto God, Eve took from the fruit of that tree, ate it, and gave it to her husband, Moses records, who was with her. He was there the whole time. What Adam should have done is he should have killed that serpent, crushed the head of that serpent with his own heel. But he had a failure of nerve, a failure of courage. He loved what his wife thought about him more than what God thought about him. He loved what his wife said more than what God said. And then when God comes to question him, have you eaten? He blames. He abdicates his duty. He commits idolatry for loving his status with his fellow man more than his status with God. And then he blames his wife. And it's not just blaming her. You remember the consequence of eating that. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam, remember, was put there to protect the garden and everything in it. And in that moment, he says, kill her, not me. And actually, God, you should die too. It's not my fault. They try to make a quick fix. In the meantime, clothing themselves with leaves from trees. But in the end, God does make a promise. He promises to die. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And the serpent will crush that seed's heel. This is what our Lord is doing in the wilderness. He is doing battle against the one who had overcome Adam and Eve as the new Adam. He has come to crush the head of the serpent. And so after he is baptized, after the heavens open, the Spirit descends, and the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son at whom I am well pleased." The Spirit draws him into the wilderness to do battle with Satan. And he does it only by heeding the word of his Father. By following what the Word of God says. He loved his Father and his Father's Word more than anything else in all creation. He had courage to trust that his Father would do exactly what his Father had promised. We are baptized. We have been claimed by the Father in word and in water. He has said unto us, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he calls us out of this place, Sunday in and Sunday out, to live in the wilderness of this world, where there are many competing words. And he calls us to be courageous. Fear not. Take heart. Take courage. Patient endurance. By trusting and believing in the Word of God. Being zealous in loving God with our heart, mind, body, and soul, and all that we have and are. To follow him through the wilderness of this world to the joys of the kingdom to come. But how often is it that we too follow in our first father's footsteps? That God has placed us in our families, in our societies, in our churches. We know his calling. We know what he has asked us to do. And we abdicate. Because we love what other men think about us or the world might think about us more than what we care about what God says. And in that, we commit idolatry. And then we seek for a quick fix. That we too have a failure of nerve. That we would rather have long-term, low-grade uncomfortability than upfront, intense uncomfortability that actually seeks to solve the problems that we face day in and day out. Our Lord did battle with Satan not only in the wilderness. His ultimate battle with our chief enemy was on the cross. That is indeed when he crushed the head of the serpent. and when his heel was bruised. He gave his life as a ransom for us, to buy us back, to take us back from our wayward wilderness wanderings. And he has done it. He died, and he is risen, and he is ascended. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is victorious. And that makes us new. Not just in baptism, but in our return to baptism, when we hear that our sins are forgiven time and time again through his word, when we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith as our food as we wander this wilderness. He brings us back into his good graces and says, "What my Son has done for you is sufficient." He picks us up. He dusts us off. He sets our feet back onto the ground, and he says, "Try again." As we make our way through Lent, and as we make our way through life, let us rest in the promises of God. And not just rest in them, but let these words of God support us and enliven us to follow him all the way through the various trials and tribulations of this world to the glory that we await in the life to come. Let this word of God enliven us, guide us, and direct us. But most of all, let this word of God that we see having been accomplished in the work of our Savior Jesus Christ, that all the promises that God had made to him came true. Let that truthfulness of God's word give you courage. Give you nerve to stand up against the variety of words that come at you day in and day out. To say, "I love God more than I love what you think about me." In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.